One thing I need to announce again, I forgot, is tonight we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Okay, so I know we just had it on Good Friday, a week ago this past Friday, but the early church did it every time they got together sometimes, and so there's nothing wrong with having it again this week. It is a blessing to reflect on the cross, and so if you are a believer, this is a command given to us in the Scriptures. This do in remembrance of me, and so I trust that you will prioritize trying to be here tonight to partake of the Lord's table. Colossians chapter 2, and today we'll be looking down, beginning. I'd like to back up a little bit and get the context again, and so let's pick up our reading in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Today we're going to look, I had hoped to go through verse 12 today, but in preparation, verses 9 and 10 are going to be where we, as far as we get. So we'll look at verses 9 and 10 today of Colossians 2. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be complete in Christ when we know Jesus is our Savior. I pray that, Father, right now, you would help me yield to your Spirit's control. Lord, I am simply a mouthpiece. Help me not to get in the way of the message you want preached. It's not about me. It's not about, my agenda. Help me to preach Christ biblically. And I pray you would stir our hearts unto obedience for the lesson that you have for us in your word. May this message be worshipful to Christ. Father, there are no human words to capture this truth. And so I need your divine enabling in order to be able to speak in a way that puts Christ in his preeminent place. Move in our midst. I pray, move in my heart to love and be consecrated to my Savior even more. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My father's church, as many of you know, is just 100 yards from the Delaware River. And so growing up, the parsonage was about 2.5 miles away. And here and there, we would go down. We'd have baptisms in the river. But as a family, sometimes my brother and sisters and I would go down and go swimming in the Delaware. And I'll never forget one time I was swimming there and was not really paying attention as to where I was, and the next thing I knew, I was caught in a current and being pulled downriver. I was only probably 9 years old or so and was not a great swimmer, let alone in a strong current. And so this current was pulling me away, and I started to panic and calling out for help. I yelled out for help, and my oldest sister was able to swim out, who's a much better swimmer than I, and she grabbed me and pulled me out. But it was a scary thing to go through for a little while. It put some fear in me of the water, of swimming in the river, at least for a little while. But when my sister got to me and grabbed me, you better believe I had my arms wrapped as tight as I could around her, because that current was still pulling. And if I would let go of her, I'd be swept away. Spiritually, there are a lot of people that get swept away from truth. A lot of people get swept away from truth. And last time that we looked at Colossians, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that there are dangerous diversions that catch the careless. There are dangerous diversions that catch the careless. And we received the command given in verse 8, beware, be on alert, be watchful. Because there are currents that would love to pull us away from Jesus Christ. And we saw specifically in verse 8 that there are men who would lead us captive away from Christ. To try to point out or try to say that there is not enough sufficiency for salvation in Jesus Christ. Heresy. And yet it says they would spoil us. They would like to lead us captive. They would like to bring us under their control. There are two methods listed in verse 4 of diversion that we looked at. Back in verse 4, though, you have the warning. He says in Colossians 2, verse 4, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What are those enticing words that would draw us away? There's some examples of it in verse 8. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy, worldly intellectualism, or vain deceit, empty nonsense, ritualism even, religious ritualism. Beware, lest you're swept away from Christ by that current. And what were the two root sources we looked at? What were the root sources of those methods of diversion? The traditions of men, religious forms, and after the rudiments of the world, worldly ways. All these things seek to divert us from Jesus Christ. There are many currents to pull us away from Christ. But folks, I want to emphasize and reemphasize and reemphasize. And we've heard this over and over again in this series of Colossians of making Christ our all. Jesus Christ is all that you need. And I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is all that you need. Cling to Him. Jesus Christ is all you need. Cling to Him. And that is what we come to in our passage today. In verse 9, we see we need to cling to Christ simply for this reason. He is God. Cling to Christ because He is God. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The enticing Gnostics and heresies that we've talked about before in Paul's day that were attacking the church at Colossae, that were attacking the church at Laodicea as well, these enticing Gnostics and heresies used their intellectualism and their vain deceit, promoting it as a greater godliness or a more spiritual walk. But by contrast, the Holy Spirit reveals to us here in verse 9 that to have Christ's anointed, or God's anointed one, that's the name Christ, anointed one, to have God's anointed one dwelling within us is to have God Himself. And that's why 1 Corinthians says, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God in Christ. There is nothing else that we need. And so in breaking down this verse, we find His divine nature being exposed. For in Him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth. Dwelleth what? We'll look at in a moment. But what is that? That phrase is very significant. The word dwelleth has two important features. Its first feature is the fact that it's in the present tense, meaning that Jesus Christ in Him continually dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is never a time when Jesus Christ is not God. There has never been a time in eternity past when Jesus Christ was not God. But some of the early heretics attacked that truth. And they said that Jesus became God when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. But then Jesus relinquished his fullness his fullness as God when he died on the cross. And they said there he was not God. And so you had these early heretics attacking this fact right here. Yet Paul says all fullness dwelleth in him, is in permanent residency within Jesus Christ. There's never a point in time when this phrase is untrue. It's in a continuous tense here. And that's the second important feature. They're linked close together. The word dwelleth means to reside permanently. It's not just he went there and stayed there for a night. He went there, he was God for a season. No, Jesus Christ is the I Am of the Old Testament. We find that revealed throughout scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, I am that I am. Or he said, even before Abraham was, I am. He admitted, he confessed to being the Jehovah God. And folks, if Jesus Christ was not Jehovah God, he would be a liar. And we should have no part of the scriptures. But Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. The testimonies of scriptures throughout it prove this and reveal this. In him dwelleth. So his divine nature is being exposed here. Now we must ask, what is it that continuously and permanently resides in Christ? Here's his divine nature expounded on: all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is immense and sacred truth. The Gnostics, again, there are certain sects of Gnostics. So when I say Gnosticism, they manifested their, they had different heresies. But one specific one that they had that seems to be, that Paul is attacking here, one thing they taught is that Jesus was just, he just emanated from God. He was not fully God. He was just like a portion of God's nature that came down to earth. And so they would say that he wasn't fully God. He was just perhaps like an angelic being come out from God. And so that was one of their teachings. But that's not what this verse says. That's not what God says. You see, they were teaching then that since Jesus was like an angelic being, that you could become more spiritual by having mystical experiences with the angelic hosts. And by through meditation and through visions, through all these specific things, you could become more spiritual. You could reach higher planes or levels. You could reach higher levels of spirituality. I mentioned that you have that in certain sects today. The Masonic temples, Masons, they have their spiritual hierarchies, their levels of experience that you can reach. And so-called Christian Science teaches that same idea. But folks, that is not the teaching of scriptures. That is not the teaching of scriptures. In Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But this wasn't intellectual enough for the mystics or the Gnostics to look at the Christian and say, it wasn't intellectual enough to say, trust in Jesus Christ by faith alone. That wasn't intellectual enough. No, they needed more out-of-body experiences and mystical things. And then they needed more intellectualism and be able to wow their hearers. That made you more spiritual. That is not the case. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul, reveals to us an incredible glimpse into the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In Him permanently resides all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is not just a part of God. Jesus is fully God. Nothing lacks in Christ's being. Nothing lacks in Him. Jesus is not less than God. You say, you're digging into this passage a little too much, Pastor. Are you reading between the lines? No. You know John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then the verse 14, and the Word, which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Get this, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so that Word was made flesh. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ when He was on earth and dwells permanently in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, and on it goes. The express image of His person. That's Jesus. The God-man. Fully God and fully man. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who was that? It was Jesus Christ. You see, in Him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. Worldly philosophy and intellect may sound very convincing and enticing, but there is no greater knowledge. There is no greater calling than pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no higher learning than getting to know Jesus Christ. There is no greater pursuit that you can have in your life than knowing Jesus Christ. Why do I encourage you to be in the Scriptures every day? Is it so that at the end of the year you can say, I read through my Bible in a year? So? No. It is so that you can know Jesus Christ. Why is it that we're to abide in Him moment by moment in fellowship and in prayer, praying without ceasing? Why is that? So that you can know Jesus Christ, because in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Men have left behind their families and friends and all that they've known to go seek worldly treasures and things that aren't going to last. Some have even left for religious pursuits and pursuits and have gone and assigned themselves to being monks, to have religious experiences, to think that if they could just get away from everything and everybody, they would be more holy and find God. No, that's not it. You're not more holy by living as a monk. God didn't call us to go out from this world. He called us to live in the world, but don't be of the world. My point is this, though. Look back at verse 3. In whom, in Jesus Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Would you listen to that again? In Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to pursue higher education? here's the highest education that we should all be pursuing. There's nothing wrong with higher education, okay? It fits God's will, all right? But my point is this, we should all be in the academy of the highest education. And that is this, knowing personally Jesus Christ more and more. That is the greatest pursuit. Young people, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. Okay? In Him, all fullness dwells. Why do I address you, young people? Because there are a lot of currents trying to tear you away from Jesus Christ. Schools are teaching. You've read the story of... was it a few weeks ago? A college professor had his students. What was it? They put a Bible on the floor and stamped on it, or that's right. Put Christ's name on a piece of paper, and had all the students stomp on it. Why is it they attack Christianity so much? Why is it they attack Christ so much? You wouldn't dare hear them doing that to Muhammad. The name Muhammad or Allah, but they can do it to Christ. And that reveals something. But anyway, that's the current of where our nation is going. Young people, that's the current. That's what Hollywood wants you to do. That's what the world wants you to do. They want you to think that they have it all and that they've got the life of fun and that they've got real life. But you will not find true love, young people, in Hollywood or in the world. You will not find true peace. You will not find true joy. You will not find any of this unless you find it in Jesus Christ. Because in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Any fool can follow after the world. Most of the world does. I mean, all the world does. That's not, you're either pursuing Christ or you're pursuing the world. Anybody can go the way of the world. Anyone can seek the things of the world. But the end of such a life is guaranteed ruin. Young people, it may look good. It may sound good. Excuse me. It may seem enticing to you. Anyone can go after those things, but it is guaranteed ruin. The truly wise person will seek the one in whom all treasures of wisdom and knowledge dwell. Young people, beware. The world will spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. They will conjure up things to try to disprove the Bible. They will claim to have all kinds of facts that go against the Scripture. They will claim scientific proofs that prove the Bible wrong. How do I know that? Because they've been trying to do it ever since the Bible was written. They hate God. And they will. The devil will love to, would love to entice you away from Him. But please, not just young people, everyone listen. By following Christ by faith with all your heart will never fail you. I'm not saying it's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm not saying life's going to be easy by following Christ. It's called cross-bearing. Doesn't sound easy, does it? But it is the most exciting activity you could ever engage your life in. You want joy? Then pursue Him in whom is the fullness of joy. You want peace? Then pursue a relationship with the Prince of Peace. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look at this next verse, though. Because here's really where the application comes in. They cling to Christ because He is God. But look at this next verse. Cling to Christ because He is all you need. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Him. This, oh, I wish I had a There's no human words to capture this, okay? God's word captures it right here. But when Israel was in the wilderness, they needed, remember several occasions, they needed water. And twice, God brought them water out of a rock. And it was sufficient to water the flocks, the herds of the children of Israel, and to quench the thirst of the entire congregation. 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Holy Spirit reveals the fact and says that rock following them was Christ. Now, there's some mysteries there that, to be honest with you, I can't explain. But one thing I do know and that I do see there, and it's found throughout the revelation of Christ, is that He is our all-sufficient rock. He is our all-sufficient rock. He is all that we need. And this phrase is so full of wonder, we could spend our lives studying it and never comprehend it in its fullness. Notice in verse 10, His fullness dwells in us. Ye are complete in Him. The word complete comes from the same word back in verse 9, translated fullness. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10, and ye are filled in Him. Do you remember the mystery that was revealed back in chapter 1 and verse 27? The mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is that Christ in you? It is the Christ of verse 9. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and this Christ dwells in you. Have you meditated on that? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6. How about Galatians 2:20? Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you realize that in you dwells Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead? In Him all fullness dwells. Does just part of Christ dwell in us? No, Christ fully dwells in us. When a person gets saved, when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, it's called, according to, He's called, referred to in John 14-17. The Spirit of Christ moves in. And folks, if you know Christ as your Savior, not just part of Christ dwells in you, Jesus Christ in all His fullness dwells in you. The Gnostics said there were levels of achievement based on mystical experiences. This passage teaches that if you have been saved by the grace of God, you have as much access to God and as much relationship with God, as much spiritual grace available to you as the next Christian. Do you realize that? Our fleshly nature, sometimes we tend to point out certain individuals and think that they're like super Christians. It's not that at all. It's not at all. There's not a super Christian. It's not that this person has had some radical more experiences available to them or something like that. It's not that. No. Folks, Bible colleges, seminaries, which I went to both. Bible colleges and seminaries, though, do not produce super Christians. And neither do offices in the church. They don't produce super Christians. You don't need education or speaking abilities. Christ is all you need. Right now, if you are in Christ, you are just as much precious in the sight of the Lord as D.L. Moody, as C.H. Spurgeon, as R.A. Torrey, as Peter, as Paul, as Timothy. And we could go on and on and on. If Christ lives in you, if you are truly born again, you are complete in Christ. You are just as much precious to the Father as anyone else. You do not need a more amazing education to be more precious in the sight of God. You don't need a better singing voice. You don't need a greater memorization ability. If you are in Christ, you are complete in Him. Sometimes we don't seem to get that. And I hear people say, forgive me, those of you who are, let's make it 50 and older, okay, just to be safe here. But sometimes I hear from people older saying, I'm 50 years old or older. What can I do for God? Listen to me. You are just as precious in God, in Christ. You are just as precious as a newborn baby. You are just as precious as the person who is multi-talented, multi-gifted. In Christ, you are complete. Because when God looks at us, He doesn't look at our righteousnesses. They're all His filthy rags. He looks for Jesus Christ. He wants to see us say, Lord, I'm yours. You saved me by your grace. Take me, use me in whatever way you want. That's what He wants to see. It is not a level of Christian experiences. Christ is all you need. This word complete is in the perfect tense, meaning that no one can ever take away the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Christ in you. No one can take that from you. No one can take it from you. John 1:16, if you know Christ, of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Of His fullness have all we received. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've received all of Him. So no wonder that the Apostle Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't say, I can do all things through Christ because I was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the day. He didn't say, I can do all things through Christ because I've endured such mighty tortures for Him. He didn't say, I can do all things through Christ because I've won a lot of souls. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened. I don't care if your intellect is, if you were to take your SATs or ACTs, whatever it is anymore, I don't care if you were to take those things and you were off the charts with intellect. Or if you were to take that test and they have to invent a lower level to describe you. Folks, if you are in Christ, it doesn't matter in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how wonderful your family is to you. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are complete in Christ. There is not this super Christian type idea. If you are in Christ, you have all you need. Ephesians 3:19 says that we can know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. 2 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Listen to me. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you've believed on His name, then would you listen to this verse and put your name in here? According as his divine power hath given unto, put your name. Put me in there, okay? Say it. According as his divine power hath given unto me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the what? The divine nature. What, if I were to ask you, what can Christ not do? I mean, obviously, he won't sin. But I'm asking in regards to his power, what can Jesus Christ not do? Is Christ in you or is he not? Why do we limit what he can do? Why do we limit our standing with God the Father? Why do we question his love? Christ is sufficient for your salvation. You don't need Christ plus anything else. You don't need to speak in tongues, like some would say. You don't need to have more spiritual experiences. You don't need to be able to heal somebody. All this junk that's been invented today. No, if you have Christ, you are complete in him before the Father. And let me just say that Christ is also sufficient for your sanctification. Everything you need to know to grow in him is right here revealed in the Word of God. He's given you his Spirit to direct you in these things. It's through the knowledge of him, according to 2 Peter, that'll help you grow. Let's not ignore this last phrase of the verse, and we'll be done. His fullness dwells in us also with all authority. Look at the end of this verse. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We saw that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the chief authority over the church. He is the preeminent one over the church. But notice that he's also the preeminent one over all principality and power. That includes Satan himself. Satan could not touch Job without permission from God. And folks, Jesus Christ is in complete control over principalities and powers even today. He's the head of all principality and powers. The Gnostics place Jesus in a category along with the angels. That Jesus was one of the principalities and powers. Paul says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no, he is the head of all principality and power. Back in chapter 1, we saw that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Jesus Christ is the creator of all principalities and powers. He's the head of them. He's the authority over them because he created them. We don't need to be touched by an angel, as there used to be a TV show called that, I guess. I don't know if it's still on, but we don't need to be touched by an angel. We need to be filled with the fullness of Christ, which takes place at salvation. And as a responsibility for all of us believers, what then after receiving him, what's our calling then? Back in back in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, okay, you received his fullness, now you need to walk in his fullness. You need to walk in his fullness. What does that mean? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Romans chapter 6, know, reckon, and yield. Know that Jesus Christ and his Spirit lives in you. Know that he dwells in you. Reckon it to be true and yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness unto holiness. And so you might have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you. You might be saved. If you know Christ as Savior, you are. But are you controlled by Him? Are you walking in Him? Have you said, Lord, I'm yours. Here I am. Do whatever you want with me. Are you walking with Him? You see, He is the head of all principality and power. We need to be filled with Christ. We are filled with Christ's fullness at salvation. Now we need to walk in Him, abide in Him, according to John 15. Don't follow after these so-called religious experiences of angels and visions and things like that that people popularize today. In Christ, you have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you already. You don't need angelic experiences. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says that Jesus Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It also says that he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see a little bit more, perhaps, of what it means to be complete in Christ? Are you saved this morning? Does the Holy Spirit live within you? Believer, is He controlling you? Are you walking in His, according to His truth? Are you walking according to His word? Jesus Christ is all that you need. Cling to Him. The currents are going to come along and try to pull you away. Intellectuals, scientists, evolutionists, not true scientists, by the way, not biblical scientists. There are some good scientists out there, many of them. But the way our nation is going, obviously they're not listening to the biblical scientists, are they? There is a current trying to pull us away from Jesus Christ. Trying to pull Christians into apostasy. Trying to pull the lost away from the truth. Satan blinds the lost people from truth. Christ is all we need. Cling to Him. Don't let anyone spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. You don't need more religious experiences. You need to cling to Christ and pursue the knowledge of Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I leave this in Your hands, and I've preached Your word, Lord, as best as I can. I pray that You would take Your word and burn it deeply on our hearts. I pray for our young people, Lord. Satan would love to pull them away from truth. And already, there are probably some who are doubting the truth of Your word. I pray, O Lord, open their eyes. Protect our young people. I pray if anyone's here today that is not saved, that has not believed in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for their sins and rose again to give them life. Lord, I pray they would come to Christ today. For we as believers, O Lord, we have the privilege, the awesome privilege of having You dwell within us. Lord, I don't know if I made, for me, I can't make the significance of this stand out to us. Father, Your Holy Spirit must illumine our hearts. May we listen to what You have. May we not doubt Your word. May we all hunger and desire, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, to so walk in Him, to be rooted, grounded, built up in Him. And may we abound with fruit for You this week. In Jesus' name.